So hey everyone, welcome to week two and module two of Truth Teller. How are all of you doing this week? Are you checking in with the intention you set for this course? I know I am, and I hope you are. And from the looks of the Facebook group, all of you are doing an incredible, incredible job in journeying into your truth. I'm really excited about this week's topic, which is all about turning a limiting story into an expansive story. And it's one of my all-time favorite topics. So this week, we're going to go into detail about all the things that might be keeping us stuck in a rut when it comes to telling the same old stories over and over again. You know, that kind that feel flat and stale and boring and really, truly far from inspiring, but that for some reason, each of us can't stop telling. I know in my own life, I actually hear myself going, here you go again, you're telling the same old story. And I have that dialogue in my head as I'm doing it. We're also going to explore how judgments of ourselves and of others keep us stuck in those limiting stories that we continue to tell. But when we take our limiting stories and turn them into an expansive story, something magnificent happens. We tap into our true genius. We actually tap into our voice. Now, this is a topic we'll be talking about a lot through the course of this journey. But first, let's dive into one of my favorite words, judgment. Judgments are not always things we like to admit that we have, but every single one of us has them, about ourselves and about others. And it's okay to have judgments. It's important to get real about them. But in order to do so, we need to be compassionate towards ourselves. And after all, we live in a culture that is spinning in judgments. I mean, just read the comments page on just about any website you go to, and you'll see what I mean. And I'm sure you agree. In particular, as women who are interested in speaking our truth, we're really up against a lot, you guys. And that's why we need to explore our own judgments and have an awareness of them. I want to read you an excerpt of an article called Why Women Aren't Welcome on the Internet by journalist Amanda Hess. She describes a lot of the vitriol she received by writing about sex and relationships. And she also goes on to say, according to a 2005 report by the Pew Research Center, which has been tracking the online lives of Americans for more than a decade, women and men have been logging on in equal numbers since 2000, but the vilest communications are still disproportionately lobbed at women. We are more likely to report being stalked and harassed on the internet. Sometimes the abuse can even get physical. For example, a Pew survey reported that 5% of women who use the internet said, quote, something happened online that led them into physical danger. And it starts young. Teenage girls are significantly more likely to be cyberbullied than boys. Just appearing as a woman online, it seems, can be enough to inspire abuse. In 2006, researchers from the University of Maryland set up a bunch of fake online accounts and then dispatched them into chat rooms. Accounts with feminine usernames incurred an average of 100 sexually explicit or threatening messages per day. Masculine names received 3.7. Wow, so that's the end of what Amanda Hess said. Isn't that astonishing? I think it is. And you can see that the harassment of women online is a serious, serious issue, something that goes way beyond the scope of this course to address. So let's not lie to each other. While we're seeing that a lot of women are rising up to speak up to those forces that we're up against, these actual forces that judge us and have us judging others, it's still extremely intimidating for many of us to speak our own truth, and for good reason. I mean, for me, it's downright terrifying at times. I'm sure for you as well. The answer, however, isn't fear. The answer is solidarity with each other. And it's also the willingness to recognize our own judgments and at the same time, move into them and pass them. our judgments of ourselves, as well as our judgments of other people, have really, for the lack of a better word, well, a crappy effect. We often end up hiding the parts of ourselves that we would most benefit from sharing for ourselves and for others. So stop for a second and really think about that. When we're wrapped up in judgments, this actually not only keeps us from valuing other people's stories, it keeps us from sharing our own. It also keeps us from being present to the moment we're living in real time. Most importantly, though, it keeps us from our awareness of the beauty and richness that are around us all of the time. The prospect of incurring the criticisms of friends, family, and strangers for simply standing up for yourself and sharing your side of the story isn't always pretty, as all of us should know. Many of us just want to be liked. I know I do, and I did for many years. We prefer external reinforcement to showing the world our full selves. But I'll tell you, showing the world who you are can be empowering beyond belief. And, going back to that word, terrifying at the same time. If we want to step out of self and society-imposed judgments and create beautiful new possibilities, we must learn to want something that goes beyond external reinforcement. So during this module, I ask you to really look at your judgments of yourself and other women in particular. Who or what do you tend to judge most harshly? Can you stop to recognize that these might just be disowned aspects of yourself? Now, I want to say that again because that's a big lesson for me. Can each of us stop to recognize that these judgments might just be disowned aspect of ourselves? Now, I'm not asking you to get rid of your judgments. We all have them. I'm actually not really sure that's possible. Simply don't take your judgments for granted. And most importantly, gain awareness of them. Just watch them. Be the objective observer. Get curious about them. And ask yourself, whose voice is this? Is it mine or is it someone else's? Maybe a parent's or a partner's? And how and when did I internalize it? And how does that affect me? How does it limit the choices I make in my life to live the life that I want? I love these questions of self-inquiry, and I can't tell you how valuable they have been to me and my mentors, and still are on a daily basis. It's really important to look at your judgments and to get curious about them, because judgments keep us stuck in our limiting story. A limiting story is something that keeps us spinning in disempowering interpretations of who we are and what, quote, happened, in quotes, to us. The limiting story is the story we tell ourselves and others when we think the world did us wrong or everything and everyone is against me. I know that very well. And frankly, this story gets to be boring over time, both to the person telling it and whoever is hearing it. In general, you can tell you're in a limiting story when you're in judgment of yourself or of others, and when you can't really see the bigger picture. This might mean that you blame either yourself or other people, or you're stuck in the story of being the victim or done to. Now, I'm not saying that you haven't been wronged or hurt. Many, and in fact, all of us have been. What I'm saying is, it's your choice what you wish to do with those experiences and stories. Are you going to use them to move into greater awareness and empowerment? Or are you going to let them keep your world and your story and your actions small? So let's talk about how we move from a limiting story to an expansive story. So I'll give you an example. In the past, when people asked me about who I was, I thought this meant getting into all the nitty-gritty details right away. I thought that equaled intimacy. I would tell people about my dysfunctional family, and about the fact that I went to 17 different schools between kindergarten and 12th grade, about the sexual abuse I kept a secret for close to 3 decades, and it just felt boring after a while. So this first phase of truth-telling, like I like to call it, that I was in, is indeed getting super honest about the bare-bone facts, which can mean that we need to tell that story like I did sometimes over and over. But if you can't move beyond that story into a deeper place of relating to our past, it becomes hard to be around other people without sounding like a broken record. After all, I wasn't talking about the lessons and the wisdom I had gained from my experiences, only the gory details, which inspired pity more than connection. I actually wore this story on my sleeve as a badge of honor to demonstrate to people that I had overcome so much and that I was strong and normal, which I find humorous because I feel like none of us are normal. As far as feeling good about myself and creating trusting, intimate relationships with others, this version of my truth proved to be more alienating than anything else by staying in that limited story. The way that I told the story not only overwhelmed other people, but more importantly, it overwhelmed me. These days, the version of that life story I share with others is much different than it used to be. I don't avoid the painful details, but I recognize that they are one aspect of my larger whole. A whole that includes moments of wisdom, triumph, power, beauty, shame, loss, grief, anger, and love. Today, the story I choose to tell others offers more context about my experience. I tell them how it impacted me. I share with people that I choose to what I learned and how it helped me to make choices that changed my habitual patterns and helped me to respond to life's ups and downs in a more empowered way. More than anything, I really try to recognize the gifts from even the most painful experiences that I've had in my life. Even though it still hurts, and sometimes very deeply, I know that facing the story and becoming aware of how it shaped me is the only way for me to move forward. So as you can see, the expansive story is the one that allows us to zoom out and gain a larger perspective about what happened. It also allows us to get way bigger than our judgments, way bigger, so that we can view our lives with greater clarity and compassion and self-responsibility for our lives. So I just want to pause here and note that the entire journey of processing your past and your life isn't something that ever ends. And I just want to be clear that there's no final destination. I believe it's cyclical and it's multi-layered. So in some ways, each and every story we tell ourselves is limiting because we continue to go deeper and deeper and come to more and more realizations along the journey. I know that each time I revisit my story, I gain a new lesson and a deeper awareness of my experience, and I walk away with a new truth that I can apply to my life in the present day. It's really all about the perspective and the place you are in your life right now. We can learn to ride that wave of our process and to appreciate the discoveries we make along the way. It's so important to always accept ourselves for who and where we are at every step of the way, whether we find ourselves in a limiting story or whether we can just breathe just a little deeper and expand our stories just a little further. For me, it's all about the percentages in life. There are no absolutes and there are no black and whites. I believe healing is genuinely possible. I see it all the time in myself and in others. And I promise there will be a day where you come up against the same issue you've been dealing with your whole life. But this time you'll look at it and you'll respond differently. You'll ask yourself, what's the lesson this time around? Perhaps you already do this in your life. It's a valuable tool for developing your awareness and living into your power, so I definitely encourage you to make it a habit. Once again, it takes time for an expansive story to emerge, and it's totally okay if some of your stories are limiting. Telling the limiting stories is an important part of the process. So really, be kind to yourself no matter where you are in this journey. So now let's get to one of my favorite parts of the course, accessing your genius. This is a huge part of the work we're going to do this week. So first, I want to distinguish between the terms passion and genius. Your passion is usually connected to an external activity or subject matter that you love. For instance, community organizing, writing, dancing, or networking, connecting people with each other. Now, your genius is that internal sense of power that informs the way you approach your passion. So let me just say that again. Your genius is the internal sense of power that informs the way you approach your passion. For example, my passion is working with women, but my genius has to do with making deep connections. My Eta Nirmala's passion is creativity, especially with words and art. But her genius has to do with her ability to synthesize complicated ideas and bring them into one tangible whole. Your genius is yours and yours alone. It's your unique way of looking at and moving in the world. Many people are totally unaware of their genius, but here's the great news. Your genius lives inside your expansive stories. And to me, your most expansive stories are the ones that illustrate deep transformation. Knowing and sharing your stories can put you directly in touch with that genius, your genius. And of course, just like your stories, your genius is constantly evolving. So as you do the exercises in your workbook this week, I really want you to connect with all of your senses to identify your unique genius. Trust me, discovering and owning your genius helps you build your resilience, especially against judgments, both your own and other people's. I know so many women, including some of you in our Facebook group, who are afraid of overwhelming others or being seen as too much. In some ways, we all choose to silence ourselves and our brilliance to be seen as lovable or likable by other people. I know I did this for many years. But the truth is that that doesn't help anyone, not you or the people whose judgments you fear. I believe that we all have a deep responsibility to ourselves and the world to know and own our genius and to apply it in a way that invigorates and empowers us. So I encourage you to spend a lot of time on the soul dig that you will find in your PDF that's all about accessing your genius this week. So we've talked about how you will be looking at your limiting and expansive stories as well as identifying your genius this week. But this is also the week that you're going to choose the story you will be working on for the duration of this course. That's the truth-telling exercise you'll find in your home play section of the PDF. There's going to be a variety of exercises we'll be doing throughout this course, but this piece of truth-telling is going to be the one that where we go the deepest, and we'll be working on it every week from here on out. So you might have some questions about how to choose the story you want to work on, especially if you have a lot of stories you want to explore, and also if you don't feel like you have a story that's valuable to share. And I want to share a few simple guidelines on how to choose your story and support you in this work. So the first tip I have is listen to your intuition. Now I want you to ask yourself, what is the personal story that feels most alive for me right now? It might be something that happened long ago or something that now that you're going through in the present moment. It can be great to work on either one of these because the benefit of something from your past is that you have a little more distance. But working on something that's happening in the present can also help you process your experience in a powerful and an immediate way. So really trust that intuition. Tip number two is to remember that the story you choose doesn't need to be one that represents some traumatic journey of moving from turmoil to transformation. Yes, those stories tend to be powerful because as humans, we seem to be hardwired to appreciate the accounts like in movies that can be overcoming obstacles and conflict. But a powerful story can be quiet, it can be subtle, and it can also just be quite simple. If you remember, for instance, I told my guiding story last week about being 4 years old and feeling a mystical sense of connection with the universe when I was under that oak tree. You could easily choose to create a larger piece of truth-telling about something like this and how it has affected you throughout your life. So really think about what it is that you want to benefit from and learn from with this story. Tip number three is to remind yourself that it is absolutely not necessary to go through pain in order to be wiser, kinder, or more credible, or even to tell a remarkable story. Our experiences have certainly made us who we are, and perhaps the wisdom acquired was a result of the pain that we have gone through. But who we are today is also the result of the powerful experiences and discoveries we have made about joy, peace, and simply being present. So it's not always all about the trauma and life lessons with pain that you can learn from or share. I know, and I don't know about you, but I know I've met many wise 13-year-olds who've lived relatively easy lives and only been on this earth for 13 years. So no matter what you've been through, you always have the opportunity to claim your story. And you don't need divorce, death, abuse, or bankruptcy to do this. Countless experiences have formed and shaped in you and all of us. So really continue to look forward to uncovering those lessons from those experiences, which are just as meaningful in creating the beautiful individual who is here listening to this recording today. Now, the final tip I want to give you for choosing your story is to continually revisit that intention you set at the beginning of the course. Can you guys all remember what the intention was that you set? Does it still feel very valid? Well, be really clear on your motive for sharing your truth. So ask yourself questions like, do you want to understand something from your past more clearly? Or do you want to experience a personal transformation for yourself? And just know that no matter where you are, every single one of your intentions is valid. And really be sure to honor them. Also, please remember that this journey is not linear. Most of us are taught in work, school, and other courses that there will be certain milestones we're expected to reach, or that there's a specific trajectory you need to follow in order to know that you've made progress. That's not what this course is about, and I never intended to create a course like that. Please know, I really want you to know that anywhere you are is perfect, and trust that you'll get exactly what you need. With that said, please remember that there is an element of surprise to the truth teller journey. Sometimes we need to loosen the control we wish to exert over the process in order to make really heartfelt discoveries. So try and surrender and be open to this journey being very different from what you had expected it to be. Please, I ask you to let yourself be surprised, because that's a huge part of the creative process after all. I hope you enjoy diving into this week's exercises in home play. And as always, if you have any questions or comments, or simply want to share about your experiences, please do so in the Facebook group or email anytime any questions or sharings to me, Samantha, or Nirmala at truthteller@womenforone.com. Happy truth telling. I cannot wait to see what gems surface from your exploration. Big love.